Strap in and hold on. The fastest 2 hours of radio is going green. The Lead Lap. The Lead Lap, the longest running NASCAR radio show in East Tennessee. Presented by Food City. Value every day. Also brought to you by Bush's Beans, Bobcat of Knoxville, Bill Cox Furniture, Beginning Point Land Survey, Cox General Contracting, CFI Insulation, Phoenix Conversions, and Ted Russell Ford. The Lead Lap is produced in part by Trendsetters Media Group. We print everything. Now, let's go to the top of the pit box. Your pit boss for the Lead Lap, Ron Morton.
Speedway, you never know who you're going to run into on Radio Row. That's the Steel Drivers with Good Corn Liquor bringing us back. Let's get into some Good Corn Liquor. Mark and Digger from the wildly popular show Moonshiners on the Discovery Channel and the face of Sugarland Shine. You guys been making shine on live TV for almost 10 years. Boy, times are changing.
Ain't that the truth?
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, how do you do that? Isn't that stuff illegal?
We just got through answering that question a few minutes ago, and we said, you know, we're glad it's got to that point, but we're sad of what got it to that point.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much more that's killing people. Too many opioids and people putting their faith in controlled substances. It's killing people, so we're less on the evils now.
Yeah. Y'all are organic.
Well,
moonshine.
About as organic, I guess, as it can be.
As you can
get. You know, it's been used as medicine. It's been used as a little bit of bravery medicine.
Yeah.
It's been used for about anything.
Well, I can't think of a better sport for you to get hooked up with than NASCAR. Obviously, the roots of racing are in moonshine for NASCAR. I used to run Thunder Road up and down through Knoxville, now Kingston Pike, and
you
run
know,
and shine
honestly,
through the years.
Honestly, the character that the Thunder Road movie was based on was from Cosby, Tennessee, where I live. His name was Rufus Gunner.
Okay.
And when Robert Mitchum was doing Thunder Road, they actually had to get her permission to base the character Luke on Rufus Gunner. And Rufus was killed. He was ran into the Holston River off the Asheville Highway.
Okay.
And That was the basis for that movie, Thunder Road.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah.
You know, the old revenueers back in the day, we were fortunate enough to meet a lot of them before they died, actually retired, and before they went on to their just reward. And I'll let me tell you, Cock County, Tennessee was, you know, that was where Thunder Road originated. It started in Cock County and either went on through Knoxville up into Louisville or on up through
Carolinas,
up through Cumberland Gap into Kentucky and then ultimately into Ohio. So, you know, it was changed because
there was never, ever a more prominent moonshine runner than Junior Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, Junior Johnson was the man on the track or on back roads. You know, he knew what he was doing.
If moonshine goes together with NASCAR like biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, I reckon. I said beer and pizza, but I guess biscuit and gravy is a little more gooder.
Well, we are in the South, and it's definitely gooder.
You know, and thank the Lord we're in here.
Isn't that the truth?
And, you know, we say it all the time, we're pretty blessed to be involved with Sugarland Distilling Company. They've tried to keep it as close to the real thing as we can get it, and we're all like a family. We love one another, and it's just wonderful.
I was looking here. I mean, this is a copy of the Sugarlands bottle label, I'm assuming.
It is.
Got a couple of NASCARs on there, the official moonshine corn whiskey of Daytona National Speedway. I mean, that's hard to believe,
isn't it?
That's
pretty outstanding. I'm going to tell you what, the liquor that's in that jar right there, ain't nobody made no liquor on the illegal side that's any better.
It's top notch. We actually launched the Daytona brand yesterday at Total Wines and Spirits here in Daytona. had a phenomenal turnout. People was snatching it up. They were getting to sample it. Very good. It's a, you know, Digger and myself, we've talked a lot just amongst ourselves, and we feel so honored to bring Sugar Land Shine into the NASCAR world. You know, I think it's what the NASCAR fans deserve. NASCAR fans are our fans.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and
it's
unfortunately,
it's
it looked like NASCAR kind of got away from its roots. They tried to get too big for their britches or too fancy one another. But
I think we're going the right direction.
We're going the right direction now.
Grounded.
It's a working man's sport.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It is a working man's sport. And just a bunch of gearheads that love to watch cars go in a circle and drink alcohol and smell rubber and gasoline. I mean, the women. Look at the women around. I mean, they love it too.
Oh, is a 50-pound baby fat? They got it.
Depends on how tall he is,
I guess. You know, I got stopped one time, and I'm ashamed to say it, but it was back pretty in the good old boy days, and I was liquored up a tiny bit. And the policeman pulled me over. He knew me. He said, "Mark, damn it," said, "don't you know that liquor and gasoline don't mix?" And I said, "Well, who's drinking gasoline?"
That's right. Who's drinking gasoline? Yeah. Tell me about some of the cars you had that you used to put that stuff in the trunk and hit the road in.
I never had anything but a truck.
A truck?
We never did it on a scale. You know, honestly, back in the day, I think if they had been more low-key.
Yeah.
For example, we had one old guy in our county that delivered liquor, and he would only do it on Wednesday afternoon or Sunday. And he put his wife and kids, he had a four-door sedan, a big Chrysler, dressed in his suit and tie, laid a Bible on the dash.
Really?
You know, and he never broke the speed limit. He obeyed all the, and probably hauled more liquor than the distributors do.
Yeah.
But, he didn't draw any attention to
himself. We weren't fortunate enough to be around in the old liquor hauling days when they left a squealing and come back a squalling. But we think it's more just for showing out back then than it is, you know, for the actual purpose of going away and outrun the law. But a lot of times they had to. But I think if they'd have been a little more low-key, they'd have got away with a lot more.
Let's go back about 9 or 10 years. I mean, you guys are sitting around, and then next thing you know, you got somebody talking to you about doing a television show. How'd all that come together?
Well, you know, really what happened was, of course, Popcorn Sutton, you know, I guess is one of the more notorious moonshiners in modern times.
We went to different high schools together.
Yeah, there you go. So if you went to anyone, you went to a different one than him. But, you know, people, I guess they found out about mine and Digger's friendship with him and the Magilla Entertainment, which produces the show. They reached out to me, and I guess they were trying to see if there was enough interest to develop a show. And I spent a day or so with them and took them around and showed them some things and told them some stories. And you know, obviously there was enough interest because this 9 seasons later, you know, it's still going strong. So, you know, it's just sheer luck, good or bad, however you choose to look at it.
You know, we bring it up all the time. You know, Popcorn told us several years ago, "I'm going to do a video, and I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to put it out there for everybody." And I said, "You need to throw that weed bag away. You've lost your damn mind." And now here we are.
Yeah,
talk to us a little bit about Popcorn. I mean, if there's one name that's synonymous with moonshine, I don't care where you're from, that name always comes up. Us being from East Tennessee, I mean, we can lay claim to Popcorn because we're from there. But we'll meet people from Canada, and they'll go, "Moonshine, you know Popcorn Sutton?"
Yeah.
I mean, he became international.
He did.
Yeah.
You know, right from the little old Cock County.
He did.
He was the genuine article.
He was, you know, and he loved the attention.
Did he?
You know, and we told him one time, I said, "Oh, man," I said, "you can't make liquor and be a movie star, too." And this was a long time ago, obviously. And he said, "Well, there ain't nobody going to bother me." He said, "I'm Popcorn Sutton." And, you know, and he couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah.
You know, He just chose. He was the most rebellious, not only a moonshiner, he rebelled,
in everything.
And you know, he showed the ultimate act of defiance by doing what he did. You know, when he was scheduled to report to jail on Friday, And he decided on Tuesday to end his life other than go to jail.
Right.
So the people, he said, you know, I guess I know kind of the way he thought. And he said, well, the guys that arrested me and sent me to jail ain't going to have the pleasure of saying they sent me to jail.
Yeah.
You know. And,
well, you know, the rebellious thing, like I said, it came in on every level. We went into a restaurant and ate to eat one time, me and JB and Popcorn, JB Raider. And the lady at the hostess desk said, do you all want this? Before you couldn't smoke anywhere. Said, do you want to be in smoking or non-smoking? He said, well, you can set me wherever the hell you want to, but I'm gonna smoke. Well, she apparently that didn't register. She set us in a no smoking area. Well, immediately he sat down, he lit a cigarette. He said, hey, bring me an ice cream. She said, you can't do that here. He said, I told you, put me everywhere if you want to, but I'm gonna smoke.
Yeah.
He was and honestly, I'll believe this to the day that I'm buried. Popcorn received an 18-month sentence, which, you know, should have been able to do that standing on his head.
Sure.
But he knew that he couldn't smoke cigarettes in jail. And cigarettes was the most important thing in the world to him. And I think a big part of what he did was, I can't have no cigarettes.
Can't do that.
You know what I mean?
No.
Really?
And I think from what some of the things he said, too, I think he's just a tiny bit scared in there. He's a little fella, and he's getting older. And, you know, I tried to reassure him. I said, listen, two things. The guys in there are going to put you up on their shoulders. They're going to worship you. You're going to be their grandpa. And I said, number two, they can't keep dope out of jail. How are they going to keep cigarettes?
So. We're sitting down with Mark and Digger, the Moonshiners from the Discovery Channel, going on 10 years on air. Chris Corum's back in Knoxville in the studio. Chris Corum, you got anything for Mark and Digger?
I sure do. How you doing, boys?
We're all right, buddy.
I'll tell you what, I've said this 100 times, maybe 1,000. I never met anybody from Cock County that I didn't like.
Ain't that special?
We raced up there a bunch, and I've often made comment we'd go to Newport to the fights and a race might break out.
Yeah,
so,
boy, they was hell bent on it, wasn't they?
I'll tell you what, Lord. But I appreciate you boys coming on. I sure do. Something I want to ask you, of course, I look at the technical aspects of these race cars a lot because we've always been involved in auto racing, but there's some technical aspects to building a steel. Why don't you boys explain to us what keeps the liquor from running back up the worm spout in a steel?
Well, you know, it can't. It cannot. The liquor can't run back up the worm spout because you build the worm first and foremost to where it spirals downward. And the steam from the steel, which is actually the liquor until it's condensed or when it gets condensed, you know, it's pushing forward the whole time.
So. I think what he's talking about is back running the spout once it drips out. I think he's asking about lustrous coon ivory.
Yeah, you tell him that, Digger. I'm sorry. Yes, I misunderstood.
Well, it's you can address that any way you want to, you know. But the reason we use a piece of coon ivory, being the baculum of a raccoon, being its penis, is
a coon pecker in our terms.
But if you're running liquor low and slow like you should, it will back run the spout occasionally. Well, some people tie a string around it, run it down into the jar. But you can take a coon pecker and put it up in your worm spout, and that, no matter if it's a drip or if it's a stream, it will follow that bone out, and you can put it inside the neck of a Coca-Cola bottle.
Yeah,
it will never back run.
That's what I was looking for, boys.
Okay,
thank you.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood, but I got
nasty.
You.
It's ivory, just like an elephant.
You got one in your bibs there.
Oh, I take my pecker everywhere I go.
He's got one here with you, Chris Corum.
Very good. Snap me a picture of that and send it to me, Ron.
I'm not sure we'll be on air next week, but, I mean, we
well, you know, they you don't get in trouble for saying Woody Woodpecker.
I don't know what we get in trouble for these days.
It's all
I'm offended that you're offended.
I'm offended that you're offended
yeah,
that I'm offended.
Tough.
Sounds like we lost Ron down there in Daytona, so it'd be a great time for some more news and notes. I'll tell you, they disqualified at Daytona with the Xfinity Series, and looks like we got Matt Snyder, number 21 on the pole for the Xfinity race. We're going to find out where Chad Fincham qualified here in just a little bit. This week marks the return of racing for NASCAR's Premier Touring Series. Last night, the NASCAR Gander Outdoor Truck Series opened their season at Daytona with Grant Enfinger picking up the win in the Nextera 250. Four of the top five got their season's best finish, with Natalie Decker being the top female to ever finish in the top five in a NASCAR Premier Touring Series. Last Sunday, Eric Jones brought home his battered Toyota to win the Crash Fest NASCAR once again calls the Busch Clash. Thursday night duels were won by Joey Logano in a Ford and William Byron in a Chevrolet. Knoxville's Chad Fincham failed to qualify for the Daytona 500, finishing 20th in the first duel. Chad Fincham will roll off in today's Xfinity race. The NASCAR Xfinity Series kicks off their 2020 season with the NASCAR Racing Experience today at 2:30. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr. will start on the pole of the 62nd running of the Daytona 500 Sunday afternoon at 2:30 on Fox. News and notes brought to you by Cox General Contractors. For commitment to quality and your satisfaction, call Cox.
Every state.
Now, back to the fastest 2 hours in radio, The Lead Lap. Brought to you in part by Ted Russell Ford and Beginning Point Land Surveying.
Knoxville. Sounds like our Daytona feed got interrupted. I don't know. Those moonshine guys down there must have got in the shine, because we have lost our Daytona connection. But glad to be with you here in Knoxville, Tennessee for Daytona 500 opening weekend. I'll tell you, sounds like it's a good time to get to some tech talk.
You ain't got to get all smart about it. Tech Talk, brought to you by Bobcat of Knoxville.
Daytona is a great time to talk about aerodynamics, and generally, we talk about aerodynamics from the front to the rear of the car. Aerodynamics is a branch of dynamics concerned with the study of motion and air and how it interacts with the moving objects. It's a mysterious science. Like I said, oftentimes, it's translated from the front to the rear, but the air on the sides of the cars is what produces those lateral forces. Two things, rolling moment and yaw moment, is the force perpendicular to the two called side force. So when a car turns in a corner, the airflow actually doesn't go straight from front to rear. It enters the car or goes across the car at an angle perpendicular to the angle of yaw. In other words, the angle that the car's going through the corner. Now, the more surface area that's on the side of the race car, the more lateral force that the car will have. If you go to a dirt race, you see dirt late models or sprint cars go at a high rate of yaw. In other words, they really go into the corner at a high angle. So when you have that, that is when that air force or that side force is really, really important, because you can lean on that wall of air and actually help you get through the corner. Tomorrow's Daytona 500, we'll see drivers actually sucking off or getting the side draft off the car. Basically, you're not making your car faster. You're slowing that car down by packing the air up off the spoiler. I think what we're going to see tomorrow is the one who wins the Daytona 500 is going to be the one who gets that last suck off of that car before they get to the start-finish line. And that's what it'll take to win tomorrow's Daytona 500. track facts from Daytona.
That's a fact, Jack. Track facts brought to you by Phoenix Conversions.
No other track says NASCAR like Daytona. The sports roots are here, and every season starts at the Daytona International Speedway. Opened in 1959, Daytona is the home of the Daytona 500. The track is 2.5 mile tri-oval, banked 31 degrees in the corners and 18 degrees at the start-finish line. Big Bill France secured funding to build the racetrack from various sources, including a second mortgage on his personal home. Daytona Speedway is now known as the World Center of Racing. The Daytona 500 qualifying track record is held by Awesome Bill Elliott from Dawsonville, set in 1987 at a speed of 210.364 miles per hour. Last year's winner of the Daytona 500 was the number 11 FedEx Toyota of Denny Hamlin. Track Facts is brought to you by Phoenix Conversions when it has to be the best.
Welcome back to the Food City Lead Lap. A little technical difficulty down here in Daytona. Not really sure what happened. We just went away. Chris Corm, you with us?
Hey, man, I'm still in Knoxville. I wish I was in Daytona with you guys, but we did lose you there for just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, I'm sure being the pro that you are, you were able to step in and take over. Not sure what you guys lost at the end of that interview, but obviously Mark and Digger are pretty colorful.
Yeah, obviously Mark and Digger are pretty colorful. I enjoyed having those guys on.
Yeah, they were good. So let's talk about the 500. Are you surprised that you got five Fords, five Chevys in the top 10? And you got to go all the way back to 14th before you find a Toyota that's going to roll off in tomorrow's 500.
Yeah, Ron, I think that's what I'm most surprised about. You know, the starting field will have 19 Chevrolets, 16 Fords, and only five Toyotas. Last year's winner, like I said earlier, was Denny Hamlin in a Toyota. But the first Toyota, like you said, is Eric Jones starting 14th. You know, we usually see those Toyotas make their way to the front, but with only five Toyotas, you won't have a whole lot of drafting partners as far as manufacturers' orders type partners. So it's Chevrolet heavy. Can we see a Chevrolet get it done in the 500? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I understand they've got a little larger spoiler than they've had in the past. Also, one thing coming out of Daytona, we talked a little bit about the Chevrolet and how they've kind of reconfigured the front bumper of that. They've actually taken some of the point off that it came that they had last year and kind of flattened that out, and they're saying that with that they feel like they're going to be able to push better.
Yeah, you know, they rounded that bumper up a little bit. The design that they've made should make a little bit more downforce at the short tracks, which you think which should hurt them at a super speedway. But like you said, Ron, if it's a little flatter, it'll match up better with the back bumper. It's going to be interesting to see what we see in tomorrow's Daytona 500, because these drivers are smart, yet they're aggressive, and where you push is going to be paramount. And are you going to cause a big wreck or push the guy in front of you to the win?
Have we talked anything about Tech Talk yet? Chris Corman, I missed this last couple of minutes there. Have we done Tech Talk?
We just did Tech Talk, yeah. And talked about aerodynamic side forces.
Okay, good. So tell me a little bit about the aerodynamic side forces.
Well, you know, usually aerodynamics you think of from front to rear over the car, but with rolling moment and yaw moment, when a car goes in a corner, obviously the air goes over the car at an angle. At Daytona, you don't want a tremendous amount of side force because it's not as important as it would be, like, say, for a mile-and-a-half racetrack like Kansas or California. The big thing with side forces at Daytona is to be able to get that side draft, if you will. And basically what you do, you slow the car beside you down, because whenever you kind of, I don't want to say swerve at him, but whenever you get close to him and move away, it packs all the air on his rear spoiler, causing more drag, and actually will slow that car up 2 or 3 miles an hour and let you go. So what I was saying earlier in Tech Talk, I think it's going to be the guy that gets that last suck, that last side draft, that may just inch ahead for victory in the 500.
And I tell you what, you got to watch them in the duels. The duels actually ended up being pretty good races there in the end. They all bunched back up. I was kind of interesting to see at times it felt like that the bottom lane just wasn't any way to catch up to the front, then all of a sudden when it meant something, they were able to pull up there and be competitive. Are those guys in the bottom lane just laying back and not showing what they've got, or what's going on there in the end to where they actually could drive up to the front from that bottom lane?
Well, Ron, you know, tomorrow the race will be a different animal because the racetrack will slick up. I think it's 72 degrees down there right now, so that would probably put the track temperature about 85 or 90 or so. So when the track slicks up, that's going to really determine where your car can run. And, you know, if it's a little tight, you're going to choose a different lane. But I think it all comes down to how many cars are in your line, because I think what we've seen is the more cars that are in that drafting line, they can produce more energy and more momentum. And so I think you're just going to have to somehow finagle your way in the line with the most cars.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see what's happening. It's hard to tell when you look at the trucks and then you look at the Xfinity races and the cars. The Xfinity cars are on the track now, and watching those guys and then actually, you know, putting a full field of cars out there is completely different than what you'll see on Sunday, too, than what you got to see in the duels. You know, I always get a little frustrated when people watch the Clash and they go, you know, I'm not going to watch 500. It's going to be horrible based on that. But the circumstances from one race to the next, with the amount of cars that are on the track, with the amount of talent that is on the track, with them splitting the fields and the duels, and also the weather figures into all those things. And race car action and stock car racing is completely unpredictable. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, man, and I think that's why we watch it, or any sport for that matter, is just the unpredictability of what's going to happen. You know, you're waiting for something like to happen, like that truck race. You could just feel that something was getting ready to happen. And you know, just like when Trevor Bayne won the 500 a few years ago, I don't think any of us could have predicted that. Now, as a race car driver, you go in with blind optimism and you're like, I think I can win this thing. And so you got 40 guys out there, at least 30 of them think they have a legitimate shot at winning the Daytona 500.
Yeah, I think so too. So it's we are live right outside of the garages from the Daytona 500. We have had an action-packed show with lots of guests. Leonard Wood was great. Dale Inman was great. Winston Kelly's always great, an old radio guy. He's such a pro. And we got a lot going on. We still got a lot to get to. We're going to break down the Daytona 500 when we come back on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Food City Lead Lap, live from Daytona International Speedway.
Now, back to the fastest 2 hours in radio, the Lead Lap, brought to you in part by Food City, value every day.
The start of our 23rd season in the books. You can hear cars on the track in the background. Chris Corm, I've been a little rusty here, but I think we got this.
Hey, I think we got this. We ran the wheels off of it a while ago, but the wheels are back on. We are climbing our way back to the front. Hey, Xfinity, qualifying is over. Some big drama in qualifying, Ron. Matt Snyder, number 21, is on the pole, but it was originally announced that Chad Fincham didn't make the race, but actually it was Ross Chastain, last year's winner, who did not make the race, and Chad Fincham is in, lines up 33rd.
Amen on Chad Finch, and that gives us something to do. And he's changed car numbers. What car number is he going to be in this year?
Lucky number 13 for this race. Yeah, for this race, but then he'll be driving the 66 the rest of the season.
Back in the 66. I'm not sure how that works, but they're able to sell car numbers or move numbers around. They all do that team owner's thing. And so I know he'd like to be in the same number every week. But like you said, he says, I'll drive whatever they put me in. I don't care what number they slap on the side of it.
Well, that's right. I mentioned to him I drove a number 13 for a couple of seasons. Never won a race in it. But I didn't want to tell Chad that. So hopefully he doesn't have any green and there's no peanuts around his pits.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Well, we definitely want to get you guys down here. We got a couple calls we can get to. I think we got Tyler Hoden. Tyler, you're on the Food City Lead Lap.
It's the champ is here, boys.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, boy. You believe that, boys? I just can't get over it, huh?
What about that?
You know, a little debate that we had about mid-season last year. Who's the best driver at Joe Gibbs Racing, and everybody, Denny Hamlin, oh, Martin Truex. Guess what? When the rubber met the road, the 18 rose to the top again. And that's just part of it. I get doubted every week. I had some business call in last year saying about to punch Kyle Busch in the face. Well, now it's a two-time champion Kyle Busch you got to punch in the face. Not one-time champion.
Hey, Tyler, he was in a press conference last week, and they asked him, they said, well, who is the new face of NASCAR? And he said, well, you know, I'm not the guy to ask. You probably should ask Chase Elliott. He's the most popular. And they said, well, okay, who's the best driver in NASCAR? And he said, hey, that's easy. You're looking at him.
Yeah. And I argue with people. I think Kyle Busch may be the most popular driver in NASCAR based on because he makes the most headlines. And I think that's what drives the sport even past, you know, boats or whatever. If you make the most headlines, the most moves, you know, most driving moments in NASCAR that week, like the championship, you know, I do think that you gain popularity like that, and it pushes the sport continue on through that. I'm also here to convert the championship last year in the fantasy league. I'm actually the one that won the whole playoffs, so I would say I'm actually the champion. So. And that's up for debate, whatever y'all want to do with it. But I scored 1,600 points in 10 races, the last 10 races of the season. So
you'll have to file protest with our technical inspector.
It's a $500 teardown, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, I can't believe I scored that many, to be honest.
You got 500?
I
mean,
I was on a roll. I got 500. No, but my dad was right outside y'all's setup there at a Daytona earlier. Him and my uncle are there, and I told him that y'all were going to be there in the fan zone. So he's the one with the money, not me.
Well, we should have had him come in and put the 500 down for the teardown.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, no, he'd love that one. I'm telling you, he'd love the $500.
I think Lynn Murray would have to differ with you. He feels like it. He got cheated.
Well, I would agree with Lynn that he would have won if he would have won the 10 races that matter, because if that was the case, Kyle Busch would be a three-peat time champion in our league if he won 2017 under championship, 2018, and 2019. But that doesn't matter to those last 10 races. Does that make sense? So you have to walk it off in the final four, and I did that. And I was lucky enough to be able to do that and score 1,623 points. It's just crazy.
Tyler, sounds like you'd make a good race car driver.
I'm telling you, I can. when it comes to technicality and being able to mend and bend and be able to find yourself a winner, I can do it, boys. It's bad, but I make it happen.
Well, I'll tell you, who you got for the 500? Who you liking based on what you've seen so far with the Crash Fest and the Clash and then the duels and qualifying? What you thinking on the 500 tomorrow?
So, I guess, Ron, you're on the track right now. But as far as I can see right now, in practice, the two cars is awful, awful fast, especially with the 22 behind it. They're making moves right now on the Chevys that are just blowing five people. So my head and my fantasy pick, I think you got to have the 2 and the 220, the 2 and the 22 somewhere in there, along maybe the 9. But, of course, Kyle Busch left in the pick them, and I was like, why not pick Kyle Busch? You know what I mean? He has a lot of momentum right now. You know, it's a 15 try. It took Darren Walker 17 and Dale Earnhardt Sr. 20. So why not Kyle Busch? You know what I mean? So, that's who I picked.
All right, Kyle Busch, we're not surprised by that pick. We'll take him off the board, and we're glad to be back on the air, and we're glad to hear from you, Tyler.
Yeah, thank y'all. Again,
don't forget to set
it.
Your fantasy racing league. Y'all lined up with that? Got the email logged in? Y'all good for fantasy? Yeah, he's gone. All right, yeah. Let's go to Daniel's call. Daniel, you're on the Food City Lead Lap.
Good morning, Mr. Morton.
Hey, Daniel. What's happening?
Not much, sir. How's it going down in Daytona?
Well, I understand it's just a tad bit warmer by about, 50 degrees. But other than that, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Go ahead and rub it in.
I'm going to.
Hey, Chris, maybe we ought to do your segment from Eldora this year.
Hey,
Leave Ron back in the studio.
Hey, you know, that's a great idea. I'm going to duly note that one of our callers suggested that. And, about September when Eldora comes up, I think that's definitely what we should do. And thanks for that recommendation, Daniel.
Maybe one of the sponsors might actually sponsor it for you.
Hey, and we've got some great sponsors too, so we'll definitely make a note of that.
I think we probably could get that done through Beginning Point Land Surveying, actually.
I'm pretty sure that's what I'm talking about. We just leave Ron at home, and we'll just go up to Eldora.
There you go.
That's
me and you'll go today to Eldora and do the show from there.
Hey, as long as I get to cash the check, I'm good.
Yes, sir. But, I'm going to go with Jimmy Johnson for my pick. He had a pretty good bull, and I think he's just smart enough to be around at the end to have a chance.
Good deal. That's a great pick, Daniel.
Yeah. But
he looks pretty good. I think he's going to roll off sixth.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some pictures of Ron down there, and that's what gave me the idea of me and you go up to Eldora.
Well, very good. Have you ever been to Eldora?
No, I've always wanted to go.
Definitely should go. It's a special place, no doubt. Anybody that likes car racing and being kind should make at least one trip to Rossburg, Ohio, and go to Eldora.
Yes, sir.
All right, Daniel. You and Chris work it out off the air, not right in front of me, and we'll get to it.
Thank you, Daniel.
All right, Daniel.
All right, man. Let's get there. Let's slide one more call. Let's get Eric on the Food City Lead Lap. Eric, we got about a minute and a half. Go.
All right, well, that four car is going to get it tomorrow, I say. Him and that 21 hooking up, they're going to be hard to beat. What do y'all think about that?
Hey, look good Thursday night, man. I'll tell you, that silver Busch car of Harvick's looked pretty stout.
Yeah, well, I normally wouldn't pick Harvick in this situation. I'm a 21 guy myself, but I think experience is going to play out. Harvick's going to bring it home.
I'll tell you, those two cars look good together pushing around there. So we'll see if they can translate that to the 500.
I hope so. And enjoy the show, and I'll talk to you guys next Saturday.
Hey, rock on. Thanks, Eric.
That's it. We slid a bunch of calls in. Sorry if we didn't get to your call today. We just had a lot on tap today live from Daytona for 3 hours. Chris Corum, it's been a lot of fun. And this is the time where the rubber meets the road and we start making our own picks, and I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'll tell you, I already had my pick down, but Daniel actually solidified my decision. I'm pretty bad to pick with my heart instead of my head, and I'm going to do that this week and pick the number 48 of Jimmy Johnson.
Number 48. You know, that's Miss Sandy's pick, and I was going to let her go live with that. Sandy? Yeah. You're going to have to pick somebody else.
I tell her she can go with me. We Jimmy needs the help. We'll pick two for Jimmy.
Sandy?
Well, since it was his last Daytona debut, I was going to go for him, but I think I'm going to switch over to Chase now.
Uh-oh.
Another Hendrick car.
She's following the cute boys. She's picking off pure emotion. You know how that works, don't you, with the women?
Yeah.
They pick off pure emotion most of the time?
Yep.
Well, that's what she's doing. She's moved over to Chase. I had to point out who he was to her, but now she's got him dialed in.
Very good. Well, there's a couple of Hendrick cars. Who would be your pick, Ron?
I tell you what, I'm going to stay with Logano. I think Logano is going to get it done, and he already got there in his duel, and those Fords are fast, and I'm going to stay with the 2-2 of Joey Logano.
All right, very good. How about Sam? Let's see if we can get a pick from Sam. He's done a good job. We almost spun out twice during the show, but somehow we recovered, didn't overcorrect, and here we are. Sam, you got a pick?
Yeah, I mean, we kept it on the tires, right?
We kept it. Oh, yeah, we kept it going straight.
Well, me personally, I'm a Joe Gibbs guy, but the Toyotas just have seemed to struggle compared to last year at Daytona. I kind of like what's going on with the Fords, and I almost want to go with Eric, but I'm going to go with Kyle Busch to get it done. I just kind of have a feeling this might be his year to finally get the 500, even though Toyotas haven't been as strong so far down there at race week.
Number 18, one of only five Toyotas, but if you got to pick a Toyota, that is a good one to pick.
It's obvious that him and Tyler have been talking off the air.
He might have had a little influence on Sam. I'm not sure.
How long was Tyler on hold? Long enough to influence Sam?
Let's see. Tyler was on there for a little while.
Yeah, they had a good conversation, didn't
they? Oh, yeah. He coerced him, no doubt.
Next week, Sam, you got to pick on your own.
Duly noted.
Oh, I tell you what. Well, out of all the Hall of Famers, Chris Corum, which one did you like the best?
Man, I'll tell you, all of them were great, but it just something about Leonard Wood just warms my heart every time I hear his voice and how much he's been through. And, you know, Winston Kelly, it'd be hard to pick one. I'd love to have a sit-down with Dale Inman, Leonard Wood, and Winston Kelly for dinner and just have a long dinner to talk about everything those guys have seen, man. It's been an awesome show.
Well, you really drew it out of Mark and Digger, the Moonshiners. That was a loaded question you asked.
Yeah, but they went there. I didn't know if they'd go there, but they went there, and it's cool to have those guys on, too.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun coming in talking about it. You know, really, if you think about it, I mean, it's no, you know, hidden secret that Moonshine and NASCAR go way back.
Well, that's right, man. And Thunder Road runs right through the town I'm from, Maynardville, Tennessee. So, they've been known to produce a little moonshine in Union County, probably not as famously as Cock County. But like you said, man, that's how car racing started, was trying to build high-performance cars to outrun the revenueers.
Absolutely. He's Chris Corum, the Hat Man, back in the studio. We appreciate you, Chris. Been a great show. We appreciate you coming in, being a resident historian, and doing all the things that you do. It's the Xfinity race today at 2:30. You can catch that on FS1. And tomorrow it's the 62nd running of the Daytona 500 live on Fox tomorrow at 2:30. They're urging everybody, if you're in the area, to come early due to President Trump. The United States President will be here in attendance, and they're saying come about an hour and a half early. Thanks for tuning in to the 23rd season of the Food City Lead Lap. Shout out to my smoking hot wife, Sandy Morton, and my Daytona Lead Lap race crew. Thanks to my sidekick, Hat Man Chris Corum, and George's little brother, Sam Foreman, on the buttons today. Thanks for giving us your time and your continued interest in motorsports and our show. We'll be back next Saturday for the next 26 weeks. I want to thank my Heavenly Father. He sits right next to me at every race, and he can sit right next to you, too. The Lead Lap is produced locally by Trendsetters Media Group. Have a good day. Soldier and American, beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand.